Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
All right, well, welcome back. I'm Reba Haas with Team Reba RE/MAX Metro.
Right, and I'm Eric Austinus from Home Street Bank Home Loans.
Right. Okay.
What
was that?
Back.
Right.
I don't know. I say right. You always say all right.
Left.
Yeah. That's how you open the show. Well, hello there.
Too much wine. Yeah, there you go. Not enough right now. especially as I'm thinking about all these inspections and pre-inspections and all the issues going on around it. So in the last segment, we were talking about these possession issues. And so I want to bring up a little bit, you know, first of all, for anybody listening, we're never going to give specific details. We're going to talk in general. We might be, you know, we're never going to talk about who the actual client is,
or
where
not.
The house is at. You know, we have to keep us.
We have a fiduciary responsibility to maintain that confidentiality.
Well, I follow agency law. It's not fiduciary for us. It is for you.
Yeah.
It is for you. We're not covered by fiduciary law here as agents, but we have common law, tort law, and agency law.
Mm-hmm.
And agency law does have an element of once I have a working relationship with somebody, I have a duty of confidentiality.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean I can't talk about generally things that are going on in transactions. I just cannot divulge specifics of individuals and things of that nature, right? Or their you know, financial information, what have you.
Of course, yeah.
So what we're talking about, we love to give examples. As you know, I'm a big storyteller, right? And I'm sure my husband is
didn't notice that.
Tired as I'll get out for that. You know, I'm sure he's like, oh, one more story. But, you know, I think it has to do with like growing up in the church and there was always these biblical stories
absolutely.
We had to listen to.
Kind
they always
allegories.
Had like a
more.
Well, yeah, there's always like the moral to the story, right? So so anyway, we're talking about these issues. So possession and closing can be two completely different things, and they're spelled out in our contracts, right? So the purchase and sale agreements used by the local MLS, Multiple Listing Service, or Northwest Multiple, a lot of people call it here, they have definitions of all these terms. So possession can happen anytime, whether it's a weekend, holiday, day, as long as it's spelled out, right? Closing always has to be on a business day, typically when monies can be transferred through the federal system, that kind of thing, right?
Right.
So here we have this situation where it's not a huge issue, but it's a problematic one because these people are trying to move in. Now they find a problem that wasn't there, and the contracts actually state that the condition of the property, the seller is to leave it in the condition in which the buyer first saw it.
Inspected.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so if something was not broken before then, you know, they are supposed to fix it.
Yeah, it can be frustrating.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, you know, this gal, she's texting me feverishly of like, oh my gosh, they broke these things, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what that means. Start sending me photos so I can forward it on. And then I was like, but is it a really minor thing to fix? Or is it, I'm like you're at, and we actually ended up on the phone. And so I had to say to her, I'm like, what exactly do you want me to do? And she was like, well, I guess tell me, what am I supposed to do? And I said, well, here's the thing. So I need you to figure out what it's going to take to fix that. I said, because if it's just a broken post, I don't know if maybe your husband can just take some pliers and pull it out and go get a new one down at the local Home Depot or whatever.
Right.
So, and I said, but
aisle 12.
Right. Yeah, maybe. And so I just said, you know, not every store is set up the same way. So don't follow that advice. You'll be wandering around forever.
KKOL listeners running around aisle 12.
Yeah, please don't do that. But anyway, so I just said, I need you to first look at it because then we need to know, like, because right now I'm like, it could be just a simple part for 5 cents, or it could be you end up having to replace the doors. And now if you have to replace the doors, that's something different, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So now we have that kind of, we're in going along. What was really funny though, is that these sellers took their carbon monoxide monitors with them. Like during the transaction, they were told you had to have them and they put them in
right,
so that they would be there for the inspection and also for the appraisal.
Right.
And then they took them when they moved.
Very strange.
What?
Our buyers actually sign a disclosure saying that they're installed.
Yeah.
It's a lending requirement.
Oh, yeah, I know it is. It's a state requirement. It's not just a lending. It's a state requirement.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, so I'm just laughing. So I'm texting the other agent going, hey, dude, you need to get a hold of your sellers.
Yeah.
And I said, first of all, you need to let them know there may be something about those doors later on.
Yeah.
But two, I need you to get me some CO monitors. And everyone keeps calling them CO2 monitors. And my total anal personality is all like, stop calling them CO2. It's CO. CO is carbon monoxide, not CO2. Yeah. That's carbon dioxide.
Yeah, that would be pretty much a house plant. Your CO2 monitor.
I know, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, no, that's not it.
Yeah.
So anyway, but he was nice enough at least. I could tell he was like, I just don't want to deal with this anymore.
Yeah.
So what he did is he went out and bought two new CO monitors and just dropped them off at their house.
Oh, good.
Plus the part that should fit it well, but it just depends. Can they get the thing out? So right now what they're trying to do is to see whether or not they can drill around that thing and get it out and then find a new way to make it work.
Sure, sure.
But what it brings up as a general issue is, are you having conversations between the parties of what happens? Because a couple of other things came up during that transaction. And I hadn't realized this before because it's been so long since I've had a plus possession situation.
Mm-hmm.
Most people nowadays like to use this utility document that's called 22K, and it's the identification of utilities. And what it does, it also gives instructions to the escrow company, or AKA closing agent, to pay the final water bill. Because in most cases, the water bill is...
That lien can stay with the property.
Right, because it's usually owned by a municipality, and only municipalities can do that. Private companies cannot do it. So like PSE, if you've got your electric and gas, can't do it.
Right.
So that was one of the things, is that this gal was contacting the water company trying to set up, you know, the transfer, and was told absolutely, hey, we must pay on the day of closing, cannot do it based on possession. So we had... only 3 days. And so she, of course, asked them, well, what's the typical cost per day for water for this property? It was only like $8.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, of course, asking me, she's like, well, what should I do about that? Mm. Now, in that particular situation, we actually did have the seller paying a per day per diem to, you know, for what my client's loan was.
Yeah, we've seen that quite often. Sure.
So the question was then, you know, do you want to go after him for $8 a day? Or do you want to just say that this is a part of, you know, just doing the transaction, right? Because in that situation, we also were in a multiple offer situation. Mm, so it's like, okay, is it just because you want it that now you want to go after every little thing? Or do you want to, you know, make a thing out of it? Now, I will say I had not realized prior to that that was the instructions for escrow companies. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You did.
Well, if they're notified, I mean, it's they still have to be instructed, told what to do.
What do you mean if they're notified?
Oh, as far as collecting per diems and things like that.
I'm talking about the payoff of water bills.
Oh, sure.
Sure. What? You did know? Or
I did know that.
You did?
Yeah.
That it has to be paid off at closing.
Mm-hmm. We see that. Yeah. You're looking at me like I'm, what do I, got food on my face or something?
I don't know. Maybe I got egg on my face. I don't know. But it has been a while since we've had the possessions. But the thing is that our marketplace has caused that to happen a lot more because there's more people having to buy contingent.
Right.
And there's more people just needing that time, especially when we have these TRID delays. And there's like we don't know exactly if that's going to work. So the moving trucks and people and all
that's changed.
Is kind of affecting.
Well, it used to be the tradition in Washington State that possession was always 3 days after closing. That was always sort of a standard practice for years and years, for decades.
Yeah.
You know,
well, Annie Fitzsimmons has an article she wrote in 2004. I still have the photocopies of it that we hand out in our client packets that talks about plus three.
Yes.
Closing plus three. Right. And what the other, because most of the time it's liability issues around insurance. Like what if something really big? I mean, this was the whole thing. It was like, oh, it's a post and a door. But what if really the bigger concern is like, what if the plumbing blows?
That's right. And there can even become, for longer periods, there can be landlord-tenant issues and all sorts of things that can pop up. You know, I got a question for you, though. We had a situation with a customer about a year ago that it was a short sale. And so the person selling the home was very reluctant to sell. And that was pretty obvious. And it was not a pretty transaction, you know, from that standpoint.
They rarely are.
So our customer did an inspection of the property, but they did not schedule or write into their contract a final walkthrough of the property prior to closing.
Mm-hmm.
So closing happened on a Friday. Sunday, you know, the borrower went out to look at the home.
Oh, no.
And lo and behold, all of the copper piping
had been cut
out of the home.
Yeah.
It was probably maybe $20,000 worth of damage to this home. But they'd never done a walkthrough subsequent to their inspection of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And, so our conversations with the listing agent, and he's like, well, I hate to say it, but why didn't you do a walkthrough?
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but who can prove that it was the seller that caused the damage?
Well, yeah, because in some cases it's not.
Right.
I've had numerous colleagues that have run into that exact same situation. Mm. And, you know, even my parents had a rental property broken into that was vacant for a period of time. And someone went in and stripped all the copper plumbing out of it.
Right.
And it was just like, you know, there was that period of time where copper was so... you know, popular for, you know, I don't know, meth addicts and anybody
mm-hmm.
else who
right.
you know, needed money to like go, you know, you saw the new construction sites were getting ripped off.
Yes.
Vacant homes were getting broken into. When we had the recession, there were so many more vacant houses out there.
Right.
I mean, it was just all the time. So that kind of takes me to the other point of some of these inspection things and re-inspections, right? Because here I'm talking about its possession and you're not doing a walkthrough during the time that the seller is still possessing the property.
Right.
There are issues around inspections and the re-inspection. And thankfully our contracts have changed in about the last year or so to try and address some of that. In fact, actually today, after we finish the show, I'm going to be going with James, you know, of R&H Home Inspection to do a re-inspection of a property up in Clinton, up on Whidbey Island, because we're doing our re-inspect for a mutual client of the items that the seller agreed to complete. So are doing, because there's two sections of the contract that I want to make sure that we point out to folks, that there's walkthrough and re-inspection. And so they have two opportunities.
Let's clarify that. Yeah.
We're going to clarify that, but if we run out of time, we may have to do it in the next segment. But if you're doing the walkthrough, it's meant to do exactly what you were describing of going through to make sure the property is in the condition in which the buyer last saw it and everything is still fine.
It's all cool.
Right?
Yeah.
The re-inspection is to go back and make sure that the seller fixes that may have been negotiated are done appropriately. And that can cause a delay because if they're not done correctly, then the buyer has an opportunity to say, hey, wait a minute. This is not as agreed to in the contract. This needs to be rectified. And that may actually put a delay in your timeline for closing.
And you and I have seen more than once some seller fixes that were mind-bogglingly
so beautiful,
bad.
Some of them, yes.
Yeah, just amazing let's just get this thing done.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this some more in the next segment. And you can call us also at 866-712-1300.
If you'd like to call into the show, now's your chance. It's 866-712-1300.